Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Sports Stooges podcast. As always, I'm your host, Sports Guy Jason. And this week, I'm being joined by Gems from Off the Rail Podcast. Tell everybody where they can find you at in the social world.
So on Twitter, I am at OTR Gems, OTRJEMS. Instagram, I'm going to have to look that up. I check Instagram, but I don't really post too much on there. I think my last couple of Instagram posts are I either killed a deer or had a baby.
So a little out of date there on that second one.
Yeah. Instagram is Gemons 1530. And Gemons is J-E-M-M-O-N-S.
I think I have Instagram for the same reason. It's like, all right, yeah, I'll see what everybody's up to.
Right.
Same with TikTok. Like, okay, this is fun, but what else are we going to do?
I'm on TikTok, but whatever.
Too old to make any TikToks.
I just make them up my kids. They get a kick out of them. Instagram's good for DMing people, though, because everybody's DMs are open on Instagram, unlike Twitter. So, like, for the podcast, DMs and see what happens.
You guys have been on fire there lately with some of your guests as well.
Yeah, I'll go through spurts where I'll DM a bunch of people, and then sometimes we get lucky and get responses.
Well, and it's nice now because I think more people know what podcasts are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think early on you had to be a really big podcast for anybody to even spend 2 seconds talking to you. Now, like, they get it that even smaller podcasts or podcasts they haven't heard of can still have big enough followings that it's valuable, worthwhile for them to go on there.
Yeah. And one little trick I do is if I happen to see somebody was on a small podcast, or I'll find small podcasts similar to mine and Tone's, I'll scroll through, and if they have any guests and it's anybody that like, if it's another small podcast and somebody went on there, I know I got a pretty decent chance of getting that person to respond and possibly come on ours. And then if I send them a video clip, our stuff looks pretty professional because Tone's good at what he does.
Yeah.
So I think that helps. And some people, like, I DM'd Chris Moneymaker and forgot about it. And then it was like 3 weeks later, he's like, yeah, sure.
And that was a fantastic conversation, particularly at the time. It was so timely with NFTs kind of being such a popular topic at the moment.
And yeah, we should have apparently taken some of the stuff we talked about and invested, I guess.
I think we could all be taking some extra vacations from work if we would have listened.
I did parlay that interview into winning like a $200, $300 Amazon gift card for some charity in Chicago. Nice. From a charity poker event in Chicago, because I used to play during the beginning part of the pandemic a lot of poker on my phone. We had like a club where you could like actually whatever. I mean, super legal. Of course. I don't know. Yeah. I was not in charge of anything though, so I was just playing. But I talked to some of the guys that I used to play with in there, and I was like, hey, if you're interested, I do this podcast and I have Chris Moneymaker coming on. Here's the link. And they're like, I talked to him before we recorded, and he's like, hey, I'm part of this charity poker event, and he's one of the guests. They had like three or four guest players in it, and they were celebrities with bounties. And he's like, if you can get him to plug this and you guys give me a clip, I'll get you a free entry into the tournament. I was like, all right, cool. So I said something to Chris about it, and he's like, yeah, absolutely. So he did it, plugged it. And then I think I had to pay $1 for the entry just for like bookkeeping purposes or something.
Yeah.
And ended up finishing like eighth out of like several hundred people.
I miss charity poker games. Those were always some of my favorite ones.
It was like a complex internet thing to do, because it was charity, so it was fine, but it wasn't like you could just be like on PokerStars playing. It was like you had to download this, and then you had to get this attachment and this plugin. But
yeah,
it was worth it. That was our most profitable episode, at least for me.
There you go. Yeah, as I say, the mere pennies an episode I make at the moment on my anchor ads that run before my episodes really make this a profitable hobby.
We don't do that, the anchor ads. Tone does all the background stuff, so.
Yeah, I figured it. It was one they always let you throw on there no matter how big you are. I was like, sure, I'll take a couple pennies here and there. Why not? Yeah, a
couple pennies adds up after a while.
I mean, for what I spend on all my equipment, it'll never pay for it anyways, but.
You want to know what my equipment is?
What?
I have a laptop, which right now I have, actually have an iMac, and a blue microphone.
So, perfect.
That's my entire setup.
Yeah, no, see, I have my Logitech 4K webcam. I've got the Rodecaster Pro mixing board, and then a Shure SM7B microphone.
Nice. I think Tone has that. I know he's got a 4K camera.
Yeah. I mean, I got it when I was doing more Twitch stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to try and do more Twitch stuff. And then I was like, I'm not a Twitch guy, you know? And of course my PC is my gaming PC, you know? So that was going to be overkill for whatever I used it for anyways, in terms of like this, it's over the top, but it's nice. It does the trick, you know, and it's amazing how little equipment you really have just your laptop and a blue microphone. And that's all you have to do this anymore.
Right. And in theory, you don't even need the blue microphone. It's just nice because it sounds better, but you can just talk on a laptop. We interviewed Brad Johnson was just on his phone.
I was to say that's become popular now. And I think, you know, now it's even less taboo than it was because with the pandemic, everybody had to do remote. So it just became normal. Whereas before it would have been such a sound thing for people to have just a phone or a laptop. Whereas now it's just kind of, that's part of the deal.
Yeah. I always forget, like at baseball practice, be like, oh, what year is that kid? They'll be like, oh, he's a junior, but this is only his second year playing. I was like, oh, he didn't come out his freshman year. They're like, there was no season. Yeah. So like, I feel bad for those kids. I can't imagine losing a season of a sport in high school.
No, because, I mean, you got to feel the worst for the seniors.
Right. You know, like, yeah, that had to be awful.
Like, for most of them, most seniors in high school know it's the last time you're playing whatever sport you're playing.
Right.
But to have that moment snatched away from you where it's like, oh, I don't even get that last at-bat, that last free throw, that last any moment. It's like, I can't imagine having gone through that. And you know, at least the freshmen, they get another shot. They get to come back, and hopefully if they're good, they're hopefully practicing at home, working on skills, and it'll even almost give them time to get better over playing. Because sometimes when you're playing, you're not skill developing. So
right. Oh, before I forget to ask, I only saw the headline of it. I didn't click on it and read it because I was just scrolling past. Did one of the girls in the Washington team play the state championship game with a broken leg or broken ankle or something?
Yeah, she had twisted her ankle in the regional. And so she played semi-state and state, and then they did the x-ray afterwards and it was fractured.
Wow.
Like, talk about tough.
Yeah, no crap.
Like, hey, it's a little uncomfortable, but we'll get it out, you know?
How many state championships has Washington won in basketball, girls basketball?
Girls basketball, two.
Was one of the other ones either Jackie Batiste or Skylar Diggins' team?
Yeah, it was Skylar Diggins.
Was it?
Yeah, Skylar Diggins and Emily Phillips were the two main on that one. Well,
that's probably 08, because I remember watching Skylar play volleyball. And I saw her play basketball, too, against us, but I remember watching her play volleyball when I was in high school. And she's either in my grade or a year below me.
Yeah, she played. They played in all four state finals each year she was here.
Makes sense.
Skylar was. So they similar to this one where they went back to back and won one, lost one.
Are they going to have a bunch of returners next year? Are they graduating?
So they are only losing two people off of the team. So
that's not bad.
They should be pretty competitive again next year. And their best player off of the team this year, the one that's going to Maryland already, she's playing softball right now.
Nice.
Like you get so used to hearing, particularly on the guy side, how much they specialize in one sport so early. That, like, the girls still don't do that as much. And it's kind of nice to see, like, yeah, no, season's over. All right, now I'll go out to the softball field and play that. And
that's good, because that's what I tell all the kids, either whether it's baseball or tennis, like, play all the sports. I don't like specialize. I mean, obviously a lot of that probably comes from their parents. I'm sure these kids would probably prefer to play multiple sports, but most of it's like, oh, you're going to go to college doing this. Play all the sports. There was a stat, and I don't know if it was a fake meme or not, for the Super Bowl, and it was like 85 of these players were multi-sport athletes in high school.
You could believe it, because some of the skills that you develop playing just one sport get so specific that you don't necessarily develop maybe the speed or explosivity that ends up making you more elite than somebody who just played that one sport and just develop skills instead of overall athleticism.
Right. I guess I can see it if you're like going to get drafted. Like, so that really only applies for baseball, because none of the other sports you can get drafted right out of high school anymore.
So you still have to do that one semester of college in basketball.
Right. So I guess if in baseball and but baseball's the last sport you're going to play. So if I have a kid and they are like a stud, they're going to get drafted. They are probably not going to play football their senior year.
Right. That's a little different, because you don't want to have a contact injury take you out when you're on that verge of being drafted. Probably same way you may skip basketball season even. Like,
we don't want to risk blowing right out now on crutches from basketball.
We don't want you to, you know, people forget for pitchers how important the lower extremities are. You know, that's where the speed comes from.
Right.
So, we can't have you tearing an ACL or twisting an ankle 3 months before all the draft work turns up.
But like one of the guys on the football team at the school is committed to Illinois, and he wrestled this year. He made it to state in wrestling, but
yeah,
they need to play multiple sports.
Say that. Oh, wow. Kentucky is losing to St. Peter's right now in overtime.
It's in overtime?
Yeah. 77-76. I've got ESPN up on my other screen.
I got the TV in the basement on mute. My wife came down and got the baby from me before we started. And I was like, hey, can you mute the TV for me? She's like, you just want me to shut it off? I said, did I say that?
Oh, 79-76 now.
At this point, like, if my bracket's fucked, I just want chaos.
No, exactly. I'm always the same way. That's like, you give me chaos. And again, at this point, the worse it is for me, the better, because I'm not winning any of my bracket challenges. So let me finish last.
I don't even know. For some reason, the brackets I've done stuff on are on ESPN, and the app is not working for some reason. So it's a pain to get to view my bracket. So I just have to get on the browser to do it. But
yeah, say I did four of them. I did two on ESPN and two on CBS, because obviously Pat McAfee show one is on CBS, and then the McAfee Mafia one was on there. And then the Man to Man one was on ESPN.
Yeah.
And another podcast I listened to, Punch Drunk Sports, theirs was on ESPN. So
I did the man-to-man one, too.
Yeah, as I said, I seen you were in there. I think Tone is still leading it right now, or at least was last time I looked. Yeah.
Is there anything for winning that? I just joined it because Tone.
Yeah, I have no clue.
I know Pat's is a Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, Bitcoin if you win. Lunch with Mitt and a signed little mini football by everybody for second, and then just signed mini football for third. And then if you lose, if you have the worst bracket, you get to job shadow Tone for a day. Tone Dicks.
See, I didn't hear that part. I guess I didn't listen to it. I just saw the clip from, or the link for the bracket challenge.
I think they added that in yesterday.
Oh, did they? It's got to be pretty hard to miss all the games, but you figure you're picking all the 16 seeds. You would think you'd pick all the 15 seeds, but whoever is just about to beat Kentucky.
Yeah, as I say, St. Peter's is about to take Kentucky, who I think I had going to the Elite Eight as well. Maybe only the Sweet 16. But I know it's I think it'd be just as hard to pick a terrible bracket as it would to pick a good one.
Right. I think I had Kentucky beating Purdue in one and losing to Purdue in the other.
Yeah, I can't pick Purdue. Sorry.
I
graduated from IU. I won't pick Purdue.
Well, I absolutely hate Purdue, but like after watching a few games this year, I was like, they're pretty good.
Oh, no. I mean, they were definitely a legitimate contender this year.
It makes me hurt because I was enrolled at IU like three times and didn't end up going any of them. I grew up IU and Notre Dame. Those are my two colleges. They still are. Like, those are my favorite colleges. Like, IU getting shit stomped by 30 last time I checked. Not great.
Yeah, no, I just even stopped paying attention to that one because it hurt too much. I was just like, but I was never a fan of the Mike Woodson hire in the first place. I feel like it was just a gift to all the Bob Knight people down there to say, hey, see, he has Bob Knight ties. I'm like, that's great. That's not going to help us win in any basketball games in 2022.
Well, I thought maybe they'd just be a good tournament team. Like, they did well in the Big Ten tournament. I was like, oh, maybe Woodson has him going. Trace, Jackson, he's got two last names. What is that?
Yeah.
Davis?
Sounds right. Yeah.
He's a stud. He's good. I was like, he's going to go off for like 25, 28. This game's going to be close.
And then he was like, no, not even close.
I like to money on first half wagers just because I'm impatient. And I've done fairly well with it, especially today. And I use over under for the first half was 28.5. So
28.
I took that. And they had 28 with like 4 minutes to go.
Yeah. So I didn't watch a lot of it because I work until 7. And then I hopped outside and used our beautiful day to throw some burgers on the grill for a little bit. And then, so I didn't watch much of the first half. And then the time I saw what the score was, I was just like, all right, I don't need to watch that.
Yeah, it was awesome today. Like, I wore shorts and a t-shirt to practice. Didn't even bring my sweatshirt out. Glare or this shadow here. This weather is incredible. Except for the next 2 days, it's going to rain and be in the 40s.
Yeah, well, that's more normal though.
But
it sucks, but it's kind of what it's supposed to be.
I think Sunday it's going to be like 55 again, and next week's pretty good weather. So
yeah, no, it doesn't look like it's getting back into the snow or you know, third winter that usually goes into this time of year. So I'm happy if we never go back to that.
I hope we avoid the third winter.
I keep telling my brother it's time to move south. Like, my nephew's not quite into school yet. He's got another year because he's that just after the cutoff birthday. So it's like, let's move south before he starts school. Places where it doesn't snow, but like once or twice a year. And when it does, they just shut the whole town down for the week.
Yeah, I never thought I'd be that person, but lately when it gets nice out, I'm much more happy. Like, I don't mind snow, like, but I'm done with it by Christmas, after Christmas.
Yeah, see, no, I lived in Charlotte for a while, And then even after that, I moved to Bloomington years after I graduated, but that was still just too far away from my nephew. Tell my mom and my brother, I don't care about you guys. You're old enough. He's little. This is the time when you form the fun memories now. you can't make up that time.
I've been to Charlotte-ish. My wife's aunt lives in Mooresville, which isn't too far from there. It's like where all the NASCAR people are.
Oh, yeah. Mooresville, Lake Norman, that area. Yeah. Absolutely.
We rented jet skis on Lake Norman, and we got way lost.
That's a huge lake. That's for sure. It's easy to get lost out there. Yeah, Mooresville's probably 30 minutes north of Charlotte, depending on the traffic.
Sounds right.
Charlotte's just a huge, sprawling city. Like, it is so spread out. Like, it has nice neighborhoods, but then, like, there's just huge gaps of like, woods between neighborhoods in the city.
I would like to get back out there, but strictly because, like, the Charlotte Knights are there. Like, all of the White Sox, I think, have four minor league teams in North Carolina. I think three.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know.
The four are in North Carolina for some, I don't understand why.
Yeah, no, it's like you look at just the other team across, you know, you look at the Cubs, which is, I'm a fan of. You know, you have Iowa Cubs right there, South Bend Cubs right there.
And then, like, even the Smokies or whatever, the Tennessee Smokies is like Knoxville or something. That's not that far away. I mean, it's like 8 hours, but
at some point you have to have a little distance there, right? They can't all be right on top of you.
And the other one's in Myrtle Beach, so that's got a little bit of a trip, but which I've played on the Myrtle Beach Pelican Field. It is very nice.
Yeah, South Bend's has always been nice until, except for the couple years where they tried that field turf or whatever there for whatever reason. I don't know what they were thinking with that. It's a terrible idea in football. Why even try it in baseball?
The things they've done to the Cove, I'm still calling it the Cove, the last several years, it is nice.
Well, now they're talking about finally adding the upper deck there that was always ability to be added since the day it was built.
Isn't it? I like the joy of wondering if that foul ball hit a car or a person standing outside, because, like, so many foul balls leave that stadium.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be a shame when they do that. And I don't, you know, I get it. There are probably 10 or 12 games a year where you would probably sell enough tickets to justify having the upper deck.
Right.
But I can't imagine it's more than that, you know, unless they have some deal in place with the Cubs already to be AA or something in the future.
That would be, I was thinking about that the other day and how the process there works. Like, could they just, what are the rules for them to jump up and be, because they've obviously been single A, they've always been single A, right? When they were the South Bend White Sox and when they were the Silverhawks, they were single A.
So they've always been a low A team, but I think it's really up to the organization that has, you know, has the agreements with the teams. Like, but again, then they would have to demote, you know, do you demote the West Smokies team down to low A?
Right. And you also got to see if there's like a league
they can fit into
in that area. I think there's a ton of single A leagues, though.
There's less than there used to be, though, because they shed one a whole level of single A ball, because you used to have like low A, regular A, and high A, and now you just have regular A and high A.
Right. I didn't realize triple A is just two leagues. There's is it the Atlantic and Pacific or the
Pacific League, Pacific Coast League, and
the other one's
not the Atlantic. The Atlantic is an independent league. The ICL. Now you're gonna make me Google this real quick because
I just read it the other day. It's like an old school name, I think. What the hell?
So International League and the Pacific Coast League.
I gotcha. Yeah. So they must have the Canadian, if there's a Canadian team. I don't know why they're also international.
Is there one? It's hard to keep track of some of those minor league teams coming out. No, there's only two there. Again, when you only have 30 teams at the AAA level, and even at the AA, that's all you have. But I think that, you know, those are a little more spread out for some reason.
Yeah, I would much enjoy the South Bend Silverhawks. I won't say Cubs. Be a double or a triple A team. That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, just the level of baseball you get to, you know, the level of player you would get to see would be so much better.
Right.
You know, not that there haven't been some really awesome ones come through here over the years.
We went when I was, I want to think it was 2007. Ryan Sandberg was managing the, I think, Peoria Chiefs, or is it the Chiefs? Peoria at the time, because they were the Cubs team then. So me and my buddies went to the game. I want to think Justin Upton might still have been playing with the Silverhawks at the time. So we went to see all that. We wanted to see if we'd get like Ryan Sandberg to sign a ball. Well, we didn't, but like it was a cool game. And so we went to B-Dubs, the one that used to be downtown.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. I hate that they got rid of that
right across from the Hall of Fame.
Oh, it was a perfect spot.
It was a cool B-dubs too, because like I always thought like the aura of it was like, oh look, the bar is all glassed in.
Yeah.
I was like, that's kind of neat. Like it'd be nice to go in there someday. So we get down, we sit in our section, we sat in that, like you come in the door and there's a section there right just right off to the right. So we sat in there. We noticed they put like they blocked off our section like right after we sat down, and we're like, what happened? Or why is this going on? And our server pointed to the back corner. We turned around and there's Emmett Smith sitting in the corner. We're like, holy fuck.
Because right there across from the College Football Hall of Fame.
He got inducted that weekend, so he was there eating dinner. So we were like, hey, can you see if we can come over and say hi? And so our server got back to us a little bit later. He's like, yeah, he said you guys can come over. So we went back there, and he's back there playing dominoes. He had like a couple buddies, and then the one guy played with him on the Cowboys. I could not remember his name. He was like a third string defensive back. They got their bills while we were there. This was the coolest part. The other dude pulls out to pay his bill, and it's a pretty thick wad of cash, but it's like 10s and 20s. So he pays, and then Emmett pulls out this wad of 50s and 100s like this. And if you've seen like Emmett do interviews or watched him on like when he was on Pat's pre-Super Bowl FanDuel thing, you know he likes to like show out.
Emmett Smith. Like,
that's the most money I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's nuts. My nephew is actually named after Emmett Smith. I don't know how my brother is not a Cowboys fan at all, but somehow somehow a closet Emmett Smith fan over all the years. So I was like, because he named my nephew Emmett. And I'm like, why Emmett? Emmett Smith. I'm like, you're not. You're a Colts guy and a Tennessee Volunteers got fan. It's a Florida running back who went to the Cowboy.
He could have named him Peyton or I guess Eli didn't go there, but he's a Colts guy and he likes Tennessee and Indy. He should have named his kid Peyton.
I think he just didn't want to be too on the head with it, I think. It's like, no, that's a little too obvious. Because that was the agreement when they got pregnant. If it was a boy, my brother got to name him. If it was a girl, my sister-in-law got to name him.
Well, that seems like a good deal.
Yeah, works for them at least. They were happy with it. So obviously, we're half hour in and we haven't even talked about the biggest breaking news that broke right before we went on air yet. The Los Angeles Raiders somehow getting another offensive weapon for Derek Carr. One of the Carr brothers. Right. They, trading for Davante Adams. And I haven't seen, it said two premium picks, one of them a first rounder.
It was the first and seconds this year.
I mean, that's a lot, but that's not a lot to give up for Davante Adams when you already have Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro. Like, if you don't play well this year, Carr, you're out. You have no excuses anymore. You're going to have a lot of weapons to throw to.
Sorry, I got a text I had to respond to. Oh. My daughter is doing this. They have like tennis. The girls' tennis team is doing a fundraiser Saturday for, it's like a princess thing.
Okay.
They said, with our attendance, we have decided to split our attendees into group. And I was planning on going at like 1 o'clock. And it says your time slot for your daughter is at 12:20. We have baseball from 11 to 2. So I was just going to leave like an hour early. That kind of
big difference between leaving an hour and basically missing all of practice.
Right.
Like, hey, coach, not going to be able to make it on Saturday.
And I try. I'm already late to practice every day because when I get off work, so I try to make as much of the other stuff as I can.
It's one of those things that's, I don't think people realize how much time it takes for people to be high school coaches. And parents are awful this day. I mean, they were bad back when I played sports, but they seem to get worse
so
every year. And it's just so like,
Tennis kids this year were great. Like their parents were awesome. Yeah. And I haven't had to deal with any baseball parents yet. The last time I coached, which was 8 years ago for tennis, I think it was, a lot of those parents were terrible.
Well, right? As I say out there, obviously as you guys with school choice in Indiana now, you guys keep getting more and more kids from South Bend schools, I'm sure.
Oh,
it changes drastically what that's like out there.
Yeah, I know there's a handful of kids on our baseball team that are South Bend kids.
Like, not going to those awful schools in South Bend. Sorry. I mean, you think about it. I mean, the Washington girls team just won the state, but they had, 8 players on the roster?
That's it?
That was it.
Wow.
Because, I mean, the school's about 50% capacity right now. Like, it's empty. So it's crazy. And now we've got Creighton and San Diego State going to overtime.
Really?
And they're tied at 62. Yeah, Kentucky did end up losing by 6. My bracket is all kinds of F.
That's wild that Kentucky lost. 15 seed beat a 2 seed.
I mean, it's still not as bad as Virginia. Getting ran out of the gym by UMBC.
I forgot about that.
Like, that's not even, that wasn't like a last second stunner shot. That wasn't, hey, these guys came out and got hot real quick at the end. No, like they outplayed them from tip to the end.
Right.
And it's like, this shouldn't happen for, and of course, then the next year when Virginia wins the championship, all this redeems them. Like, no, it doesn't. No, you did something that's never happened before and will probably never happen again in sport.
Yeah, that was the big thing for the longest time. A 16 seed never lost. University of Maryland. What's the
University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Baltimore County. That's a county school. It's not even like a state directional school. It's a county school.
Yeah, it's like you lost to SUNY Syracuse.
If you gave me 320 guesses, I would have, I don't remember how many Division I basketball teams there are. I would never have guessed University of Maryland, Baltimore County was a Division I basketball school.
Yeah, there's like 300. And yeah, there's no way I would have ever, I would have guessed that there was a University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Right. And if that was on like a multiple choice test, like I would not have chosen it.
Like, nah, that's fake. Move on with that one.
But yeah, Davante Adams going to the Raiders. That's insane.
I'm a Steelers fan and we've had a great offseason so far.
Hey, you know, Mitch Trubisky.
Like, and again, it's not that he's necessarily the solution. But he's a lot like adding, you know, bringing back Akello Witherspoon, bringing in Miles Jack, bringing in a couple of the mid-tier offensive linemen. It means when we go into the draft, we don't have to take a quarterback. We don't have to draft a corner. You know, we can just go in and say, okay, this is the best player available. Build depth that way or try and build the top end of the talent, not having to just say, okay, I have to fill this hole. I have to plug in this spot. Because I think anybody who's watched any of the film on these quarterbacks this year, they're just not good, in my opinion. I wouldn't take a single one of them in the first round.
I was kind of hoping that Malik Wills would fall to the end of the first round and the Lions would take a shot at him at 32. That's essentially the second round at that point. Yeah, I agree. And if they don't get him, I think he's the only one. He's got the possible highest ceiling of the quarterbacks probably coming out this year.
Oh, absolutely.
And yes. I don't want him to take a shot at anybody else in the first two rounds. I would much rather them wait until next year when they're going to have a top 10 pick again. I don't know who's coming out next year, even next year or the year after. They're going to next year. They have two first round picks again. Even if their picks are 10th and 28th, you can just package those together and move right up.
Well, and you've got Young out of Alabama kid. Was it Bryce out of Bryce Young? You've got the kid out of Ohio State will be coming out. There's like four of them next year that are better than anybody in this draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other one I would say has a decent amount of upside is Matt Corral out of Ole Miss. Like, I'm more impressed by his tape than Kenny Pickett, to be honest. Pickett looks really good when he's in rhythm and has a clean pocket. He can scramble well at the college level. I don't think he's fast enough. He's like Aaron Rodgers level speed and elusiveness. We're like, okay, I'll get away and make a kind of a play, but that's not who he was in college. Like,
right.
He if he got under pressure, he tried to break away and make plays. And that won't translate to the same in the NFL. Interesting to see how that'll play out. Just don't know. I don't know that I would have drafted any of them in the first round if it was going to be, because again, that, like you said, the advantage at 32 there is you get that fifth year option, you know, which is important.
Right.
It would have to be Willis or Corral, but I think Willis is going to go way too high. I think somebody up in the, you know, I think Carolina may talk themselves into it, or Seattle even. And who knows what's going to happen in Cleveland now that Baker wants out. If he gets out, who knows? Maybe they're in the market for a quarterback all of a sudden again.
Poor Baker.
I don't feel bad for him. He's not that good.
But he makes good commercials.
Well, go to Hollywood and act. Don't be an NFL franchise quarterback.
He's going to end up in Pittsburgh.
No, he will not. I honestly would take Mitch Trubisky over Baker Mayfield right now. I just don't think Baker's that good. I think he played on a very, very talented team, and he still couldn't get over the hump with a very, very talented team.
I don't hate Mitch Trubisky. I think he's going to actually be fairly decent. I think he got a raw deal in Chicago, and like he had a year where he was like 13-3.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was a Pro Bowler one year. Like, at least he has that upside to him.
I don't think Mitch sucks. I think Matt Nagy sucks.
That's for sure.
And I just would love to see Mitch go ball out. I didn't care who he went to. I knew last year he obviously wasn't going to play unless Josh Allen got hurt. I would like to see Mitch ball out just to like hear a bunch of pissed off Bears fans. That's my absolutely favorite thing is a Monday after a Bears terrible loss, listening to the score out of Chicago.
I just don't even do that much anymore. I am finally getting ready to cancel my XM subscription because I work from home now. So, you know, before I had a 1 hour commute each way to work.
Like, east or west from you?
For me, I went east. I was out to the far side of Elkhart.
RV land.
Yeah. Then satellite radio was nice because I could just pop on the 90s channel or Mad Dog Sports and have a good day.
Right.
But now that I'm at home, it's like, I don't need that. I can just turn on anything I want to listen to on YouTube or just download the podcast and listen while I'm working, and it's no big deal. But yeah, no, if I was Detroit, like, yeah, if Willis fell, I would take him. If Corral is the only other one, like I said, that I'd maybe risk that very last first round pick, and you could probably get them 34 and
right. They have two picks in three spots.
It'll be an interesting draft. That's for sure.
I put a future bet in a while back. I had like bonus funds. So I just put them all. I put like $35 on Evan Neal to be the first round pick. And I was like, it was like plus 200. I was like, this is a lock. And then it got down to like minus 200. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is like, he's going to be the first pick. And then the moves Jacksonville's made, he's now like plus 800. And now Aiden Hutchinson is like minus 400 or something to go first overall.
I don't know. If I was Jacksonville, I'd still take him. I would still take Neal.
You would think ideal situation would be to protect Trevor Lawrence.
Like, I get it. You signed a couple of linemen, but add another one.
Just right. What did you do? Franchised Cam Robinson and signed Brandon Scherff or something.
So you still have room to bring one more in. No problem. Like,
yeah, leave Aiden Hutchinson to the Lions.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of successes with high early pick pass rushers, but I just think there's so much value later in the first round, in the second, in the third. The Steelers have made a living out of undrafted guys becoming top-notch pass rushers, let alone mid-round guys.
You know?
Or even somehow TJ Watt dropping to pick 30. I never understood that one, but hey.
I think I'd be disappointed if the Lions picked another offensive lineman. I know Penei Sewell was like a steal where they got him. Taylor Decker's done fairly well, and they could obviously use another offensive lineman, but give me something different. I have seen some mocks with Kyle Hamilton going to the Lions at 2.
Yeah, I've seen that. He's talented, but safety at 2 is a big gamble, particularly when Hutchinson's there. Like,
yeah.
Get to the quarterback first. Worry about the back end second.
Well, and they took Jeff Okuda 3 years ago at number 2 overall or 3 overall or whatever. And he played bad his first year, but he kind of got thrown to the fire. And then last year he tore his ACL or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's still kind of a wait and see guy.
Yeah.
Again, I think the safer pick there is if Hutchins is there too, you take him. The guy that's fallen absolutely off the first round cliff, though, is what's the pass rusher from Oregon?
Kayvon Thibodeau?
Yeah.
I still see him in a lot of mocks in the top 10.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a lock for 1 or 2 with Hutchinson, and now he's down to like 7, 8. And depending, you know, there's still, you know, probably a couple more days of like decent free agent signings to move some of the draft. We're getting close to the point now where we kind of know who's going to be where in terms of teams. Right. Now you're getting more to the depth guys. And the guys who usually my Steelers would be signing now is usually when they would start. Usually, you know, but again, when you have like the third most cap room going into the offseason, again, we were able to sign Miles Jack for 2 years, $16 million, cut Joe Schobert, and that was a wash on the cap. It's like, oh, hey, that guy is athletic and can cover in space. That guy can't even tackle anymore.
Huh. I used to always have Joe Schobert as my IDP in the fantasy league that I had him because he would just get tackles. And then
I had him this year and he sucked for the first 10 games of the year.
Like, I think probably like 12 of the last 15 years I've had Levante David because that seems like he's been around forever, but he averages like 8 to 10 tackles a game, it seems like.
Yeah, no, he's one of those guys. So if you can always get a good middle linebacker in the IDP leagues, and that's my league that I run is an IDP league. Like, I won't do team defenses. It's just like, if it's a fun league, fine, but that's just, it's a waste of time. Like,
we have both, actually. We have 2 defensive players and a defense. But I don't usually draft a defense. I'll just stream one every week.
Right, because the numbers bear out. Like, the difference between like the number 1 defense and the number 15 in fantasy is like 2 points a game.
If they're all fluky too, because it's just touchdowns.
Yeah, so it's just so that's why I said IDPs. And that's still a little fluky, but like, particularly linebackers and good safeties, usually you can get their tackle numbers pretty spot on week to week. And the one thing I want to do again in the fantasy world, and I'm going to try again this year, is to put together a true dynasty league. We did it before, and then after like 3 years everybody got tired because same two people played for the championship like the first, well, I played for it all 3 years, and then one guy played for it 2 and another one the third year, and so they got mad because the same people. So then we started doing a redraft. Amazingly enough, the same couple of people keep winning. Like, yeah, I get it, you think it's because we keep the same players, but we knew to draft those people because we knew to draft them,
right?
Or actually, that one was an auction draft and it was salary cap based. Then I pointed out to him, I said, you know, if we would have stayed in the dynasty league, that was the year that AB went off the deep end and Lev Bell was playing right for the Jets. And those were 2 of my big guys. It's like, I'd have sucked. Like, I'd have been in last place probably, but no, you guys wanted to give up.
I was in a dynasty league for probably 3 or 4 years. And I just got out of it this year. I was just in too many leagues to pay attention to. And that was just one I dropped. I'm actually at my, where my dad worked, it's actually with those guys, and I'm in two leagues with those guys. So I was like, I'm dropping this one, and I'll just keep the team that was my dad's team, and I'll run that one. I had like Kittle, DeAndre Swift. Who else? I don't know. I had a fairly good roster, but I just was like, that's enough. And then one of my buddies from high school now wanted to do a dynasty league, so I got in one last year. Yeah. Started 0-7, 0-5 or 0-6. Won like 8 games in a row and made it to the championship. 9 games in a row, whatever that equates to. And I made it to the championship and ended up losing. And that was because I chose, and I don't remember which one, I think I chose Kyler Murray over Matthew Stafford. And I was just playing matchups. And usually it worked out pretty well all year on picking the correct matchup with those guys. That it did not.
Yeah, see, I was lucky in the league I won this year, because I only did 2. I did the one I've done with, it's me, my brother, one of my friends from high school, and then a bunch of my friends from college. So we all play together every year. And that this year, I just had a ton of injuries like in the middle of the season, and it killed me. The other one was just a bunch of mutual friends from around here, South Bend. And I ended up with the number 1 overall pick. Fantastic. Oh, wait, CMC's hurt all year. But smart enough to draft Cooper Kupp, absolutely won me my, in a PPR league at that.
Ooh.
Championship.
Yeah, that's awesome. I had Robert Woods instead of Cooper Kupp, but I think I wanted Cooper Kupp and he went a few spots before. So I was like, Matthew Stafford's going to be a stud there. I'll take Robert Woods.
And my other league, Cooper Kupp went one pick before my next pick when I was going to take him. I was like, and I had had him every year in that league until this past year.
Well, now Stafford's got, I would assume Woods will be back by the beginning of the season because he got hurt pretty early, if not pretty close. And I think he's still there.
Yeah.
Coop, Woods, and Allen Robinson will be his receivers next year.
And then if OBJ gets back in any time fashion, he comes back.
He's a free agent, right? Yeah.
He technically is, but I imagine he'll probably take a 1-year prove it deal. If he can have a Adrian Peterson type recovery.
Right. He'll be back in time for the playoffs. He'll be like Eric Weddle.
Best unretirement ever. And obviously he did that strictly because he knew they were Super Bowl contenders.
Right. Like, he wouldn't have been coming back week 17 to play for the Lions.
No. Like, this wasn't, hey, I want to play just to play.
Right.
This is, I'm going to play to win a win. And of course, we've got baseball finally kicking off.
Thank God.
I'm still very disappointed with that collective bargaining agreement, though. All of that time, all of that effort, and don't get me wrong, the minimum salary raise was nice for those players. And a $50 million pool for pre-arbitration players is important. Moving the competitive balance tax is really about 30 players in the league. That really affects, particularly if you don't, you're not going to get a minimum without giving a more firm maximum, and the players don't want that. But look at sports like basketball and football and how well they've created a middle class by having those salary caps and salary floors.
Contract. I know. Great. There are less basketball players. Those contracts are outrageous.
Well, and even if you look, so what? The average salary in basketball is what, $11 or $12 million a year now. In baseball, it's what, 4 or 5 and going down.
Right. You know,
this year, it may actually go up finally with the new minimum salary raise. But still,
right? You'd think it would go up a touch.
But again, if you're a team like Pittsburgh or Oakland, or what's spending another $20 million on payroll get you? You're still going to be way out of touch with the top spending teams. So there's no incentive for them to try.
Yeah. My big thing with everything is I was glad, and I've heard talk that they could bring it back. The stupid extra inning rule is gone.
Oh, that
awful. I hated when playing baseball and that rule would pop up. What else? 7-inning doubleheaders are stupid. I just want regular ruled baseball for the most part. As a pitcher, the shift would piss me off. I don't think you should ban the shift. It's just part of the game.
Babe Ruth got shifted against, by the way.
That's
how long it's been part of the game. The answer to hitters not wanting to hit the other way is not to ban them. Because again, what's the rule going to exactly look like? Okay, so the shortstop can't be to the first base side of second base, but can he be right directly behind second base? And can the third baseman still play shortstop?
Yeah, I'm wondering how they...
Are you going to move, can the second baseman still shift over? Like, how far can you go in regulating that?
I don't know. Is that even officially official, or is that one of those things that might happen in 2023?
Might happen in 2023. They have.
I also think bigger bases are stupid.
It's not a safety thing. Like if you're saying it's a safety thing, they make safe first bases.
Right.
Like
put one of those orange bags out there.
Like here's the fielder side. Here's the runner side. If you're on the wrong side, you're gonna be out or automatically safe. That's gonna be the rule.
I believe
it's the only place you need it.
I believe they are redesigned though, where they're like easier to push off of or something. But I don't see why you can do that with the smaller bag. I just feel like if you change too much, it kind of like takes away the integrity.
They're trying to make for more offense, and it's like, I get it,
that's more viewers, but people are stupid
to an extent, but they're missing the boat on what a 1-0 fast game looks like too, because younger viewers, no matter how much offense, don't want to sit there for 4 hours of baseball.
Right.
I don't care if it's 12 to 11. They're not going to watch 4 hours of it. It's why soccer is gaining so much popularity, because of constant movement and the constant time movement. So if you're watching a soccer match, God forbid, I don't understand why you would do that. But if you are, you know, it's going to be over in 2 hours.
Right.
Even with extra time, it's 2 hours and you're done.
Yeah. I don't even really understand completely how soccer works. Like, obviously I know you kick the ball in the goal, but like, I don't know penalties. I don't understand where extra time comes from. I've never sat down and watched a single, even like World Cup, when everybody gets into it. I am not into it.
I can't figure out offsides. I've had family members who played soccer before and try to explain to me. They're like, well, you know, you can't get past the defense. Like, well, but doesn't that seem like that's the defense's fault? Like, why should the offense be penalized for getting ahead of the defense? Like, that's their job.
Right. It's something that I think take care of cherry picking or something. I'm not 100% sure how it works.
But even then the defense can kind of hold back to hold you back. So you can't get a breakaway because they can hold you up.
It's probably like banning the shift.
I don't know. Yeah, there was a TV show on ABC years ago called Sports Night, and it was supposed to be a show kind of very, very loosely based on the early days of SportsCenter with Keith Olbermann and Dan. And the one guy proposed in there, I said, here's how you fix soccer. There's two ways. Either make the goal bigger or you make it smaller and get rid of the goalie. Either way, you increase scoring and now Americans will care. It's like, yeah, I can see where soccer purists might hate that, but I like it.
I do too. I want like a tiny goal. Like, give me, I don't want a giant one. I want a tiny one with no goalie, and it's like probably like four soccer balls wide and like two soccer balls high or something.
And again, give me a clear offsides like in hockey. Here's the blue line. You can't come past this without the puck. But if the defense is out of position, that's on them. Hey, you can't cross this line without the ball being passed at first. But if the ball's passed, defense is on there. It's on them to get back, not you.
Even better with soccer, give me a Quidditch goal.
Yeah, Harry Potter was after my time.
It would just be like a big hoop facing like just basically like a ring light.
Okay. I mean, I've at least seen what that looks like. I just didn't know that was the goal. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, obviously I'm excited to have baseball. I just wish they would have fixed revenue sharing needs to be increased in that sport. I get it. It's a lot of local revenue, but now that the Braves particularly are publicly owned and we see how much money even a mid-market team like Atlanta is making, like it's time to share that better with smaller clubs so that they can compete. Well, you're losing to the NFL. Because a city like Pittsburgh can compete in the NFL.
Right.
Like,
and the Cubs can't do anything because they had biblical losses a couple years ago.
It's because the owner spent all the money buying all the real estate around Wrigley Field, and he's a cheap ass in the first place.
Well, at that and supporting elections for people.
Well, that was more his dad than him. But
probably his brother, too.
They also took on a lot of debt to buy the Cubs. Like, they didn't buy that with their money. So, you know, they don't look at it as a profitable enterprise until they retire the debt.
Right.
And then they just keep using more debt to buy more real estate around Wrigley Field. It's like, I miss old Wrigley Field. I got to go early enough in my life where you could walk up day of and buy bleacher tickets still.
Yeah.
And this is when the bleachers were smaller and the bleachers were the bleachers. Like, it's become too family friendly and too corporate out there for my taste. You know, I didn't go till I think I went to my first one in 2000. Still wasn't what it was. You could go to early April games were half empty. There were summer games that were half empty, you know. Because people didn't just show up to Wrigley Field because it was Wrigley Field.
Right.
I don't feel bad. You know, all the rooftop owners got mad when they expanded the bleachers and put up scoreboards. Like, no. I used to watch. I was young enough to watch where it was just the people in the apartment with their grills up there on the roof.
Of course, they didn't care.
The Tribune Company didn't care then. But when you're charging $200 a ticket to watch a Cubs game that you didn't contribute to paying for, you're stealing goods and services at that point.
That would have been so cool, like even not being a Cubs fan, to live in one of those apartments where you can like see the game.
Oh, I told one of my friends, his niece had an apartment right behind the bleachers studio for $500 a month, and she let it go. And this was like in the early 2000s. I was like, should have told me. I'd have taken over rent. I'd have commuted back and forth.
Yeah.
For that apartment for that price.
Then your hour drive to work becomes 2.5, 3, traffic maybe 6.
Take the train. Take the train.
You can get almost all the way there. You just have to keep a car at the airport. That's the last stop, right? On the South Shore?
Oh, no. South Shore ends at Millennium Station.
No, doorway.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Although back then, maybe by then it had already moved to the airport. Like, it used to be over on Olive Street, which at the time wouldn't have been too far from where I lived.
Even better.
it would have been almost walkable. Although, again, if I had a place at Wrigley, then I'd probably just find a job up there
too. Right. You probably, yeah.
$500 a month. I mean,
you should have been an usher.
Work at one of the bars right there.
Was that McDonald's there then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the McDonald's. Yeah. I mean, $500 back then. I don't think McDonald's was quite paying enough for that.
2 months of work for 1 month of rent.
I think back then minimum wage was still $4.75 an hour.
It's probably $7.15. It's been $7.15 for like 30 years now.
I think that was in the mid 2000s. That it finally, I'd have to look it up. Yeah, it's been stuck. Although luckily, I don't think there's, but maybe a handful of jobs anymore that pay true minimum wage, no matter where you're at.
It might be $7.25. It's something like that, though. Because I remember being excited when they changed it, because I was making minimum wage in high school. And I was like, sweet, I'm going to make more money now.
So it went up July 24th, 2009 to $7.25 an hour.
I guess I had graduated by that point, but still.
Yeah, but again, it had went up from like $4.75 to $5.25 to $6.55. Or no, went $4.75 to $5.15, then to $6.55, and then $7.25.
I feel like the $5.15, the $5 to $6 to $7 ones were all not that far apart, like yeah, the changes.
Yeah, so it went from $4.75 to $5.15 when I was in high school. So that was 1999. And then 2016, it went to $6.55.
Sounds right.
And then $7.25 in 2009.
Yep.
Or no, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you said
2016. I said 2016. It was 2007. It went to $6.55.
Right. Okay. I thought they moved twice pretty quick because I was working at Oink at the time in New Buffalo and making minimum wage. So I was excited I was going to get like an extra 75 cents or whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure how August 2016 ended up on that screen at all there. Like that was just a random, like here, we're just going to throw a random date in this post.
Internet. Some guy is going to be reading this on a podcast and I'm going to make him look dumb.
Dozens of people will hear him talk about a day that has nothing to do with anything.
I make that joke to my wife with like, she's like, she listens to our podcast, but she also was like, are you recording this week? I'm like, hopefully. She's like, you need to stay on it. That's how you grow. You need to record every week. I was like, it's not like we don't want to. And she goes, and I know you joke about your dozens of listeners, but if you want more than a dozen, you guys need to be consistent. I was like, yes, ma'am.
I mean, she's right. And that's the one thing I'm terrible at right now is doing it every week. I'd try right now. It's averaging about every third week. And, you know, some of that is just had some family stuff pop up that has kind of gotten in the way. You know, again, it's so new. I'm kind of being loose with scheduling.
Right.
And then when I was going to do this, there was a guy who had been bothering me for like a year to do it. And then as soon as I say, sure, my schedule's changed, he's like, oh, well, now I've got a new job and I'm coaching wrestling, so I can't help. It's like, oh, okay. But at the point, I'd already asked Tone to do the graphic work. And I was like, you know what? Anchor's free anyways. I'm like, you know what? I'll throw up an episode here or there until I find a good rhythm and figure out what I want to do with it.
Well, so far it seems I've listened to a little bit of the other ones. I listened to like half of Tone's, I think. So me and Tone just talked about it last night. Tuesday night in our podcast about how I'm pretty sure I have ADHD and can't finish things. So like if I listen to a podcast and I did it to listening to you and Tone, I did it listening to Ben Verlander, I did it listening to Chris Rose, the Rose report, all in like a 3 day span. I listened to a podcast on the way to work and then never finished it. Like I have like time in the morning when I get to work, drink coffee and stuff where I could finish it like the last half an hour or 15 minutes. And I just don't. I start doing other things and I can't get focused. I'm sure I have ADHD. I've been fidgeting with Legos this entire
time. Oh, no, I know I do. I was tested when I was in school. And then I think my, you know, the big reason I wasn't ADHD was I was in the South Bend Public School. So they're not telling an honor roll student you have to go on a IEP when you're on a roll. They're like, this is not worth the headache. And two, my mom fought it tooth and nail. So
with that, honor roll student could have turned into valedictorian with
with the proper amount of methamphetamines.
Right. Like I've seriously considered, guys, like I should probably go to the doctor and just see if I can get like a low dose of Adderall or a low dose of Concerta or something just to kind of feel more productive.
Well, and I don't even know if I'd want medicine per se, but even there, you know, to learn, spend some time learning some of the CBT, you know, the cognitive behavior therapies that just help with the focus.
Yes. As,
you know, again, I'm constantly fidgeting here. I just keep using my monitor. I have the two monitors, so I just play with the other one to try and make it less. And like when I started, I was just tweeting out all the links and stuff. Not that a single, I think one person has come on while we were live.
Oh, yeah.
On the air. Okay. But the other thing, I'm like the last episode I did with Tyler, I tried to tighten up my editing on the audio version.
Yeah.
Like this will go on YouTube. It'll stay on YouTube and this whatever. But I tried to cut out, like I spent probably 8 hours editing it, trying to get out all my uhs and ums. Because it, it drives me nuts. So yes. I know somebody listening it is. And the, you know, when there's dead air, I was just like, you know what? Because I was talking with him about it some, because obviously he does a lot of editing as well. And I said, you know, I think eventually what I want to do is almost do it call her daddy style, or almost double record the, you know, the episodes double the length, record 2 hours and edit it down to just like one tight hour. But I don't think, like I said, before I get to that point, I have to find, A, I have to look, and B, find probably a permanent co-host. And that way, when you add a guest, you're not just two people, now it's three, and I think conversation flows better.
Yeah,
I've had three person podcasts before.
Yeah, so you get in a good routine. Like Tone and I get in a good routine with our interviews. Like, but when we don't do it for a while, we were rusty. Like that Tim Sinclair interview, I felt like we were kind of out of practice and rusty. And like I could pick up, I noticed things that we were doing, saying the same phrases over and over. I think I'd had a lot of ums. I can't remember exactly what they were, but I noticed them. And I was like, that was not a great interview. Like, I think it was good content wise, but I don't think like interviewing wise. And then I thought Brad's was a lot better.
And Brad just is such an interesting individual. Like his story was so good. And I think one of the things I've tried to work on when I work at work is obviously I'm pretty classic Chicago Midwesterner, and that I talk very fast.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to work on slowing myself down when I talk, because I almost talk myself out of breath, and then it causes the us and ums, because now you're trying to catch your breath, trying to re-catch your thought. And it's like, you know, slow down. Conversation doesn't need to go that fast.
I do that and I mumble. So, but I've tried to be clearer and pay more attention, and I need to be better. And I do it all the time. I need to be better about looking forward more. Tone's great at it. I'm constantly looking around.
I won't watch these back on YouTube. Like, get on YouTube to record it for the audio part, so I can just rip the audio, but I won't watch it, because I know it's part of my problem is I have two 27 inch curved monitors. So it's ultra wide, basically. So I'm just always, even now though, I've just got the two screens open in the dead middle, so I shouldn't be as off on the side. But like at one point I was playing with my Madden 22 icon on the screen. It's just like, all right, oops, let's move that, because that was finally free, because I wouldn't buy Madden anymore no matter how much they try to charge. It's like, guys run the same thing out every year. Like, just make it free and make all your money selling those packs to those Madden Ultimate Team people. Let them.
You can get Madden for free now?
So I had, when I bought my graphics card for my computer, I got 3 months free of the Xbox Pass, Game Pass for PC.
Mm-hmm.
And now part of it is you get the EA Pass as part of the Xbox Pass.
Okay.
So Madden 22 is on the EA Game Pass, so got that for free.
Oh, nice.
Well, technically $10 a month, but
right.
Like right now I'm on 4 free months. So
I honestly don't know how any of that works anymore. I never really did much on the computer. I have not had a gaming system since probably 2010 or 11, maybe, is when I got rid of my Xbox. And it's not that I don't want one, I just don't know when I'd have the time to do it. And I think if I came home with one right now, my wife would murder me.
I think Taylor would hit you over the head, top of the head with it. Cause you guys got what, 3 kids at home?
Yeah. We 2 of them biologically, and our middle is a foster who actually Monday we get to officially adopt.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Then you work at the steel mill, and yes. And you're a firefighter.
Yes.
So as you guys talked about on your podcast this week, like basically the manliest man that you could draw up on paper.
Yeah. And I don't feel like I am,
you know,
obviously. I just fell into these things.
Hey, I think that's coach sports. I coach baseball and tennis. Yeah. You don't have time for, you barely have time for yourself, let alone a video game system.
Yeah. And my wife's awesome for letting me do all that stuff. And it's a lot. Like in theory, I shouldn't have even asked to do some of it, but I did, and she said yes. So
that's having a good partner, though, right? That understands that, hey, maybe you need this for the moment, or maybe you need this right now.
Yeah, and that's, I never tell her not to do something. I would much rather her go do something with her friends, go do if she wanted to. It's just tough to find a babysitter if I'm at work.
I can get that. I mean, particularly my brother and his wife were very lucky, because I've worked retail management for so many years, and then her grandma's retired. So between me, we're, you know, usually being off the middle of the week, her grandma retired, and then my mom's work schedule being flexible, until my nephew started preschool, he never had a babysitter. He always stayed with family every day. So it became too easy.
Sorry. My wife came down. She said, she's like, I hear a dying bird or something. She's like, you don't hear it? I was like, no. I said, do you want me to come check it out?
Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere. Dying birds happen.
I mean, yeah, it's probably a cat.
Yeah. I was saying, we have a feral cat that likes to set off. I've got the like the blink motion sensor cameras outside, and in my backyard, neighborhood cat likes to set mine off all the time. It's like, I see it go off, and I look just to make sure, because
right.
neighborhood I live in ain't the greatest. It's home, but it's what it is.
Now, are you, do you live now close to where you, did you grow up in that like same area right there? Or?
Yeah. So I'm one of the few people who stayed over here after I graduated. Like most of the kids I graduated with moved far away, you know, and even the ones that stayed in South Bend didn't stay on the west side of town. Like they moved elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty rare that anybody stays around here. And like right now, actually tomorrow it ends. There's a vacant lot a couple blocks from where I'm staying at now that's up for auction. So if it stays at $25, I think I'm going to buy it. And then
$25.
Yeah. And then hopefully I'll be able to use that and save up and build a house little by little.
There you go.
On that vacant lot.
And you said that's pretty close to where you're at?
It's two blocks down.
Okay.
And luckily when they tore it down, they didn't. So a lot of them in South Bend, when they tore down the vacant houses at the time, they tore them. They took all the water and sewer lines all the way back to the street, which makes it super expensive to rehook it up.
Right.
But here they left the sidewalk and driveway intact. So that means they would have left the sewer lines where they were supposed to, which is at the sidewalk.
Huh.
So it makes it a lot cheaper to hook it back up.
That's good. When's that auction end?
Tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Is it online or what is it?
Yeah.
Because they just did tax sales in the port like Monday.
Yeah.
I heard stuff went real cheap.
Yeah, now there's some that have gone for more than I anticipated. And I think there's one probably about 10 blocks from here that I'm keeping an eye on because a company had bought it and they're planning to build a duplex on the lot.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't realize that the person they bought it from was behind on the taxes. So it's on the tax sale and somebody keeps bidding them up. Obviously, they want to reclaim the lot.
Right.
But it's like
somebody has got
caught. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm waiting on this one here just to see if it stays at 25. If nobody bids, then I'll bid on it. If not, I'll wait for another opportunity where there's enough vacant lots in South Bend now. There's no reason to overpay for one at all. Yeah.
Somebody said that, I think it was our fire chief was talking about it last night. Somebody said they got a small lot on Hudson Lake, lakefront for like $100.
What?
Yeah.
That is insane.
And I scrolled through that tax sale and looked at it. And I looked up the ones that had actual street numbers. I didn't do the ones that were like East Hudson Boulevard. Yeah. I assume there's some of those are just like slivers of land that people don't give a shit about. But $100 is $100.
As I say, if it's big enough to put a boat launch on, that's good enough. Like, all right, just head on out, launch the boat and go fish for the day. Or depending on your type of boat. I mean, you got kids. I'm sure there's pontoons and fun boating with that. But
so we live like real close together. Like
we're
on the same side of our counties, basically.
Yes.
And I was looking at our Facebooks, like seeing our mutual friends. All of our mutual friends are people from like Twitter. There's nobody. I don't think there's anybody local. Like honestly, Todd is probably our closest locally, and that's just because he lives in Indy. Todd and Flegs are probably.
Probably. I never even thought to look at that, but because you're right. It literally, 20 minutes apart.
Yeah.
It's crazy though. It always seems like because of that time zone line, like it's just different world.
Yeah.
You know, even for counties that literally touch up to each other. Like it's just like, nah.
My high school drew from both counties.
Yeah. See, and like, but you guys were in a different conference than us, sports wise.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore. But at the time when I was in school, and I think even when you still were.
Yeah, we were in the NIC.
And we were in the NIC.
Now we're in the NIC.
Yeah. Well, because Penn and Mishawaka left the NIC, if I
remember. Penn's still in it.
It was Penn and Mishawaka left,
yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
Yeah, I didn't know until we got to a conference for tennis who was all in our conference. I was like, this sucks. Looking at the schools in our conference. I was like, where's LaVille? Yeah. Give me Culver.
Yeah, LaVille. Like, oh, yeah, you got to go to 20 down to 31 and just keep going and going.
No, like, where are they from our conference? I want them back. Give me Culver. Give me Triton. Give me LaVille.
All the teams that were in your conference.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want Clay. Or Clay's not so bad. But, like, it seems like the South Bend schools all specialize in a different sport.
Well, and I mean, ultimately, South Bend's going to have to close one of their high schools here pretty soon. So that's going to hurt, too, when you go down to three schools here, because, you know, none of these sports conferences are that big around here anymore where you can afford to lose another high school.
Right.
I don't envy those administrators who got to put all that work together to make that stuff happen.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. So the South Bend schools in the South Bend, like, so there's Clay, Adams, Riley, Washington.
Well, that's your four South Bend public schools.
Okay.
And then you have St. Joe.
Right.
And then Marion, Mishawaka, and Penn are your Mishawaka schools.
So those are basically the St. Joe County
schools, right? Lakeville is right there on the border of St. Joe and Marshall, and it pulls from both.
Okay. Just like how we pull from both.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think of...
I'm sure this is exciting conversation for people that live outside.
No, John Glenn. That's the other one. John Glenn.
Yep. They've been on both of our conferences. I think they're in the NIC now.
Yeah, because they weren't when I went to school, at least.
I think us, Jimtown, and John Glenn came over.
Okay, yeah. I just did not keep track of any of that at all.
I had no idea until I was coaching again.
Yeah, it's like, because you just can't pay attention to that. Like I'm sure everybody follows their high school for their high school sports once they leave.
You would think so.
At least passingly, but like you don't pay attention to the day-to-day of it. Like, okay, what conference are you in? Like, I didn't even realize until it was like state championship. Oh, they're like Washington Girls 3A. I'm like,
when did 3A?
When did they become a 3A school? They were always 4A. And then it's like, I thought about it. Student body population is way down, so it makes sense.
Well, and like, each sport has like a different class system because who was I looking at?
They went to six classes now.
Six classes in football. And I think we're 4A in football, but 3A and everything else, maybe.
Because the what I would call the Olympic sports, I think there's only four classes, but now. Wow.
Individual sports don't have classes.
Well, okay.
Which is crap if we're going to get into that.
I miss the one class basketball, to be honest. I wish they would do like a tournament of the champions at the end of the year. Like, hey, we're going to put, you know, 1A versus 4A, 2A versus 3A. And
yeah, I don't hate that for the sports like that. But like, so like tennis, golf, wrestling, I think they need classes because you get, I don't know. It's just because we play Penn and St. Joe.
I guess they look at it, though, because it's individual, not team.
Right.
That it's not the same effect, you know, because obviously when you're pulling a basketball team or a football team, the more students you have, typically the more depth you're going to have for your team.
Right.
And the bigger your numbers you'll have on your team.
Well, I mean, there is team aspects to all of those sports. Like the teams do.
Like tennis, there's technically team scoring, right?
Yeah. It's
based off singles and double matches.
Yeah. Wrestling is like that. Point wise. Golf, yeah. I'm assuming, is like that.
Well, golf, I mean, they basically play it. Yeah, modified individual four-person team. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think there's a case for that always to be made. And, like, now, technically, Washington will move up to 4A next year in basketball because they've been in the state finals 2 years in a row. Because they changed that rule. They changed the class rules because a lot of the private schools technically were 1A and 2A schools by population. But because they're able to offer scholarships to kids for sports, you know, they could build better teams. So, okay. You know, some of the smaller schools were like, this kind of is not what this was meant for. Like,
yeah.
Either the private schools need to be in their own league or there needs to be some mechanism to move them up if they keep being too competitive. I wish
that was the case because Andrean used to beat the piss out of us and things all the time, but they could recruit CMA. They always had these like Lithuanian kids playing basketball that were so good. I'm glad Lalamere just competes against nationally ranked teams.
Well, and I think if you're going to be that kind of school, that's what it makes sense to do because that's what's going to get you the kids you want in there, right?
Right. Well, Lalu has like three different varsity basketball teams, though. They have like their premier squad or whatever they call it. That's the one you see on ESPN. And then they have like a local team-ish. And then I think they have JV.
Yeah. Which, I mean, again, you want to have place for the freshmen and sophomores to play and get better.
Right.
You know, although, again, some of those kids they recruit are going to play on that premier squad freshman year in high school, probably anyways. They're that talented.
Yeah.
And for, you know, so it's interesting. Again, that, you know, like Chicago, that's, they basically do have they have separate leagues for the private schools and the public schools.
Yeah.
Period. Like, it's like, no, you don't mix. Like, it's not a chance. We're not giving you the chance to recruit Eddie Curry and Derrick Rose to your school and then have to have them play some public school that's, you know, up from the north side full of five white kids. Like, no.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
But I think the public league there gets pretty intense.
No, I mean, well, it is because the private leagues are on their own.
Right.
They don't recruit the kids as much. And obviously there, a lot of the parents don't have the ability to transport their kids to the private schools anyways. Right. So they still end up in the public league. And the public league is so prestigious.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's produced some of the top players in the country that I think they are not going to lose top players. I think we're at an hour 20. If you want to keep going, we can keep going, but I think we can wrap it up because I'm sure got some stuff to do.
Let's wrap it up because I have to get up at 4:30.
Oh, that's even worse.
But yeah, it's no big deal. Most of the time I'm up till 10 o'clock anyways. I think I have a cupcake with my name on it upstairs too. The wife went to Designer Desserts in Valpo today.
Oh, nice. As I say, I have to be up tomorrow to take my nephew to preschool at 8. So it's a late, early day for me because usually I work 10 to 7. That's my normal work day.
That's not a bad shift.
For a single guy, it's optimal.
Right.
I usually stay up till 12:30, 1 o'clock, sleep till about 8:30, get up, make breakfast. And again, now working from home, I just literally walk up to the office here and I have my work stuff on one side of the desk and all my fun stuff on the other side.
When I worked second shift, 2:30 to 10:30 or 2:30 to 11, because we had the clock out for half an hour lunch. That was basically, I would stay up till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning every night, sleep till noon, and then get up. But I was 22 and single, and after work I was going to the bar.
I say those were some of my best years when I worked. I worked at the county jail here for 5.5 years, and I worked most of it second shift. That's it. You get off at 11, go home, change out to the bar at 11:30, stay till 3:30, go home.
Yeah, that was the only perk to that. Like at that time, I was playing softball probably like 4 or 5 nights a week, so that kind of put a kibosh to that where I couldn't play as much as I wanted to. But now I this will be the first year I haven't put a team in. Like normally I just run a team.
Yeah.
This is the first year I didn't do that in probably 12 years.
Yeah, can I think you got enough going on at home now? Like, all right, this is somebody else's headache this year.
Well, the first year that I did it, there were probably 60 teams probably in like LaPorte City.
Okay.
Probably on Sundays alone, there were 8 per division, and there were 4, it was A, B, C, and D. So there's 32 teams on a Sunday.
Last pitch or slow pitch?
Slow pitch. They don't have fast pitch leagues in LaPorte anymore.
Yeah. I don't think Southman does either. They used to, but.
Last year, I think there were 4 total teams on Sunday, like from 32 to 4.
Well, again, though, I think last year was just one of those years where everybody was so still kind of uncertain on how things were going. So I think you had a lot of...
It'd been dwindling.
I wonder, is it just because they come to South Bend, or is it just people...
Well, it's like $575 when South Bend really isn't that much more expensive. Valpo is cheaper, Michigan City. And this year, they don't even have a Sunday league. I think they're just playing on Tuesday nights in LaPorte. I had almost moved us to Belleville or whatever, Byers, whatever it is now.
It's Belleville.
Yeah. Matthews.
Yeah, that was my little league park when it was still a baseball field there.
Do they not have baseball fields over there anymore?
I mean, the fields are still there, but there's no leagues that play out of there.
Really?
Yeah. It had fallen into such disrepair that they lost their little league license. And then they tried to run for a couple of years as just like, you know, a baseball league, like through like Pony League or something like that. And it just wasn't enough kids left anymore.
Man, I remember they were the closest. They were the next. Well, I guess Warren had a team too.
Yeah.
But I always liked playing at Matthews. We got to play under the light.
No, it was, you know, again, we were at the time they had, you know, the bingo hall and things like that. So they were fundraising like crazy. And then when they lost the bingo hall, because, you know, adults be adults and steal from kids.
Oh, jeez.
Cause all kinds of problems there. So they lost the bingo hall.
Where you grew up playing was Matthews?
Yeah. Knocking stuff off my desk. But yeah, I played there 5 to 18.
Wow.
Because they played, still had senior league back then too.
We had senior league when I was in high school still. We did it 15, 16, I think. Maybe it was the last time we did it.
Yeah.
The oldest we could be. We went to state for it.
Yeah, we were never that good because, again, obviously, basically, by the time you get to senior league, it's basically all the South Bend leagues together to put together one team.
Yeah.
Because most kids are playing high school baseball, so they're
VFW. It was actually our high school team that was playing in this league.
Okay, so that makes sense. I say a lot of our best high school players played the VFW leagues in the summer.
I played Legion Ball out of South Bend post 50 for the year after high school, actually. And that was pretty fun.
That's competitive baseball.
Yeah, but yeah, this has been great.
Nope, appreciate it. Again, make sure you guys check out Off the Rails Pod. I'm imagining if you're listening to this, so you probably already listened to them.
The less interesting co-host of Off the Rails.
I wouldn't say that. I think your life is fairly interesting.
Yes, but Tone will just drop random shit. Like yesterday, he told me he couldn't read till he was in sixth grade.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. See, I was exact opposite. Like I was an early reader. Like I went into it was the perfect storm. I went to first grade here at St. Adalbert's, and I think this will be a great story to leave off on. But I had started reading it like books at 4 years old. So I get into first grade at 6, and it's a new teacher, and she has this genius idea that she'll give the first graders all of their work for the week at the beginning of the week. And then you can work at your own pace, and she'll help you as you need help. And, you know, kids who need less direction will be able to work on their own, and kids who need more help. Really, actually a really great way to do it, unless you have a kid who's been reading for 2 years by the time they get to school. I would finish my week's worth of work by midday Monday.
Yeah.
So I would spend all week just making class miserable for everybody else. Cause again, ADHD. Yeah.
Right.
And you could tell at that age, you know, some of the notes that got sent home were just hilarious. Like I got, you know, there's one, there's like Jason was jump roping with his sweater today. And then in the afternoon, we moved his desk to the front of the classroom by the chalkboard because he was talking to everybody while they were trying to work. So then he started licking his finger and making polka dots on the chalkboard. So at one point they talked about moving me up to second grade because I was so far ahead. And my mom will tell my nephew this all the time. They literally looked at my mom and said, well, we can't move him up to second grade because he doesn't color in the lines like a second grader. I still don't color in the lines to this day. It's like, who's got time for that?
I'm not a great colorer. My daughter will bring me, want me to color stuff. And I'm also colorblind, but that has nothing to do with coloring in the lines. It's just being a poor colorer.
So it's like, it always throws me for a loop when you have these people who didn't learn to read till later, because I was such an early reader, and it's just like,
somebody like Tone.
But again, I would imagine, though, as you know, part of it was probably moving around because he was military family.
That's exactly what he described it. This is on the podcast, so I'm not like divulging Tone secrets. This was on the next podcast that's coming out of ours.
So it's a teaser for you guys there in the industry. That's why we like to call that a teaser.
There you go. And if anybody listens to this on Saturday morning, I'll be part of the From the 108 tournament that they're running. It's a White Sox Twitter where I will be competing against Joe Latham, no relation to Sean, in the first round matchup. So vote for Jimmins.
There we go. Let's remind mailmen that firemen are much more important to the world.
Yeah.
A perfect place to leave that off. Till next time, guys. Peace out.
See ya. Thank you.